We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds.
Hey there, welcome to a Eurostep Podcast Network emergency podcast. I am Ty Windisch. I am joined by the esteemed Jordan Tresky of the Win in Six podcast to talk about some really bad news. The vibes around the Bucks were honestly kind of immaculate, with an exciting win in Charlotte on Wednesday night, DeMarcus Cousins making an exciting debut for the team, and now all of that good energy is gone as the Bucks announced on their own volition, I guess, Thursday during the day. Oh, what's up, Jordan?
Are we recording?
Yeah.
We are? Oh, okay, because I didn't see in the top corner. I was like, I have to do it now. I was like, I didn't know.
It's a good call. I'm recording on a different software, but
I just ruined your intro.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You know, this is, we are all about transparency here at GSPN, which the Bucks, not so much, but they did announce Brooke Lopez back surgery out indefinitely. We still don't know what kind of back surgery, and not that I'm an expert in back surgeries or anything, but all we know is back surgery out indefinitely, which is one more word than we knew before. Before we knew back out indefinitely, now we know back surgery. Obviously, this is much more serious. No longer there seems to be the possibility that maybe Brooke is back next week. You know, maybe he's going to be seen at practice soon. That's out. We don't know when exactly. We don't know how serious this is, but I think we know it's pretty serious because it required surgery. Jordan, what were your first thoughts outside of just, damn, that's a bummer, when we got this news?
Yeah, like you said, he's already out indefinitely, so now it's more indefinite. I mean, huge bummer. Seemed very likely that we would have the, when is the other shoe going to drop after Boogie signing? Just kind of felt inevitable that there'd be something. And you'd always brace for the worst, just because, I mean, there's very little words that we could go on from the Bucks. I mean, the most that was spoken about to this point was Brooke, and how he was talking about progressing and having a target in mind to Shams a couple weeks ago. And I think he was doing on-court work at some points before games, if memory serves. But reading through the tea leaves, because that's all we have to do at this point, I'm guessing that whatever it was ailing him did not, you know, lessen, diminish as he was starting to get back, ramping up into action. And, you know, surgery is always viewed as a last resort, obviously, especially in this case. You're going to the back of a 33-year-old player that, you know, 7-foot big man, all that stuff, has already had a history of foot problems that have derailed two of his seasons while playing at the Nets. It sucks. It's terrible. You know, there's a history of injuries and all that stuff that you just, you don't, you hope for that, you know, everything breaks right. And he's certainly been Mr. Durable for the Bucks over the last, you know, since coming to the Bucks. And to see this, it's just, you know, it's disappointing. And it, you know, obviously the lack of transparency is one, you know, one thing, but at the longer this went on and, you know, especially after he says, I have a target in mind, not saying what that target is and all that stuff, and seeing, you know, the lack of progress since then, you fear for the worst, and the worst has come to pass.
Yeah, I think, you know, you made a good point in our GSPN group chat that's like, you know, it wouldn't have made the result any better if we knew what was happening. And that's true. But I do think
– still not great.
Well, and the head fake too. Like, I mean, he's doing on-court work, has a target in mind. So clearly, despite – and Bud's just not going to ever give us anything on this. It seems. We'll see. I mean, this next time that he's asked, you'd hope we get something. Eric Name was resharing on Twitter him saying straight up no to was there a setback. I guess, you know, you get into phrasing and semantics and all that. But if not a setback – clearly some bad news, right? Like,
yeah, really. Wisconsin sports fans have become very used to parsing through words recently and what they actually mean.
They have indeed. But clearly, if not a setback, then something didn't go right. I mean, again, we're just playing with terminologies now, but it seems my read, and not sourced at all. No, this is speculation to a degree. Like, they were trying to avoid surgery this whole time, and Brook's back just wasn't responding in the right ways to do that. And now here we are, which probably leads me to believe this is pretty serious. And you may be saying, well, duh, he had back surgery. Of course it is. But I mean, there's some surgeries in the league, not back surgeries. But, you know, sometimes a guy, like, gets something scoped or whatever, and it's, like, 2 weeks, right? This is, again, not as serious as a back surgery, but there are some procedures that sound like they're going to be more serious. But I would imagine if this was something like, well, you could get the surgery and be out 2 months or try and go without, the Bucks and Brook would probably have been like, okay, like, I'll eat the end of 2021 and be back for 2022. Like, if the surgery wasn't going to be a long-term thing, you think that would have been the first option, right? Like, let's just get it over with. Let's get it done. And again, this is just guesswork at this point, but it certainly doesn't seem good that we've gone all this time with no real update. And now suddenly the surgery is elected for, not only because we're closer to playoffs and the games that you really want Brook there for, although having watched all season mostly without him, you'd want him there for all of them. But not even just that aspect of having less recovery time, but just the thought and decision-making process that had you wait, it doesn't seem good for at least seeing full-strength Brook Lopez for this year.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks don't go to these great lengths to keep things very opaque, to offer updates, but they're non-updates whenever, you know, a beat reporter like Eric Name or, you know, local TV guys are asking about it. And or, you know, spend however long he only played opening night at this point. We're into December. Like, they don't go to these great lengths without knowing that they have something to hide and knowing, you know what I mean? Like, it's a fool's errand. Even as things, I know Adam and I have talked about this on recent pods, but like, even as things have kind of, they've wanted to keep things more in house over John Horst Rain and stuff like that. It's different when you're talking about someone hurt and recovery and all that stuff, because I mean, we're seeing the same thing with Dante. It's been radio silence in terms of when he may return, and it's just that only got multiplied when Brook Lopez plays opening night and then has been out since then. So yeah, like, it's from that angle, there's still, I know, you know, they're saying indefinitely and that they're keeping this, you know, open to return, you know, hopefully. But it's a back surgery. That's hard. That's hard for any player, you know, regardless of sports. It's just really hard. And, you know, again, his history, not that, you know, we should just be judging out because it's two different injuries. But when Brook's out, he's out. It's either he's played or he's out. Well, that's what it's kind of what it is.
I think that's life when you're, what, 7 foot, 7 foot yep. one, 280, whatever Brook is. I mean, it's honestly, you don't want to say miraculous, but pretty awe-inspiring how healthy and available he's been. And I think a lot of credit, a lot of credit goes to Bud and the Bucks for this one. They've load managed without load managing him, right? Like that's how yep. the Bucks have operated in the Budenholzer horse, mostly Bud tenure. In terms, not entirely horse because he was there for some of the kid times when guys would just randomly play forever. But that's what Bud does. You know, Brook wasn't playing 35 minutes a night and wasn't shouldering a heavy load, at least offensively. Defensively, he was. But still, there's only so much you can do about centers in their early to mid, we'll say, 30s. We do have a very disturbing precedent recently for centers getting back surgery, Serge Ibaka. And again, we don't know if it's the same. I don't know if we know exactly what Serge's was. We certainly don't know exactly what Brooks is. But yeah. a serious, you would presume, back surgery. I think Ibaka was out 5 months and hasn't really looked right ever since. Although, you know, I think they were at different places in their careers. I think Serge pre-surgery didn't look as good as Lopez did pre-surgery either. Or when he was playing still. Obviously, we haven't seen Lopez in 6 weeks now. But that's not a great sign, clearly. We don't have that much to go off of. But I don't know if anyone even needed an example. I think back for the playoffs right now feels like a pipe dream. So, I mean, we thought Giannis was going to be out forever when he got hurt. Hopefully we're wrong again. But it doesn't seem great right now.
And even then, I mean, Ibaka's kind of been a good example just because he has played G League assignments and it's hard to ramp up in general. But then the thought of like, oh, you may be playing for your season and you're relying on Brook Lopez to, you know, play, I don't know, 20 minutes or something like that. Like that frankly to me is like, it's not that does seem like a pipe dream. It does not seem something you should expect. So that's where it gets really kind of dicey. I mean, dicey. They've obviously made their move. They pulled this move off with Boogie to not replace him, but it's, you know, at this point, it's a body that needs to fill minutes at the center position. And you just hope that it works out in terms of, you know, Brook's health. It works out with Boogie. It works out with, you know, Giannis, Bobby playing to the degree that they have. Over the last few weeks and obviously over this 8-game winning streak. And then you ask more of the roster. We're going to see different variations. We obviously haven't seen the Bucks play to their system. We've seen different ways of how they're playing defensively because it's hard to replace Brook Lopez. What he does and how the Bucks have played under with Brook and under Bud has been so synonymous to Brook. It's not easily replicable, as hard as that word is for me to say. You know, Bobby's had trouble playing that way. We've seen other, you know, his brother had
trouble playing that
way. Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's not easy.
Yeah. So that's where it gets really hard because it's just, he is so integral to this era of the Bucks and just how they've historically played. When you take that piece away, you know, as much as the team has changed, as much as, you know, they've had to make, you know, major changes around that, you're still like, you've always looked at Brook Lopez as kind of a constant. Not unlike, it's not to the degree of Giannis or Chris or now Drew since he came here, but it's something else entirely that can't, when you lose it, you recognize it. And when you see it, you know, come together, it's, you know, it's very tangible to see.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely. No one is going to be able to one-to-one replace what Brook brought the Bucks when healthy. But like you said, well, it's going to be a committee thing. A lot of guys are going to have to step up. So obviously, Giannis, I mean, we've seen it. He's already been doing this. Bobby Portis, to an extent. We actually were debating on Twitter, Adam McGee, myself, and a listener, I think Steven, earlier about is Bobby a center or not? I think not really. I don't think he can do that many center things defensively. They're going to need him to give good big minutes for the rest of the season, though. I mean, there has been a stark difference having him versus not having him, I think, on the Bucks rebounding and even a little bit defensively. As much as he gets picked on, I think they just missed the size. They just had no size, especially when Shemmy, he's going to be a little more essential now. I'm going to start saying his name again. When Shemmy was out as well, there was just not enough size at all. Adding Boogie helps, although now I don't feel as good about the move. I thought it was just, hey, let's get some big depth and help bring Brook back slowly. But he looked great, and that's a good sign. Again, he's not going to replace Brook one-to-one. I do think there is some merit in saying Brook was not seen as a standout defender when he came to the Bucks. Maybe working with the Bucks in Bud's system with these tremendous defenders around him, in front of him, will help Boogie more, too. I think he did look more mobile than I expected. Again, he's not going to be an all-defensive-level player. I don't think he's going to start for them and play anything close to Brook's role. It is a good sign that he looked good already, though. I mean, he's been on the team 2 days. He looked more comfortable on the Bucks than most of the guys they added this summer, besides George Hill, who had been around before, and Grayson Allen, who is still actually is kind of – Grayson will go a long time without shooting now. I think he's getting used to playing with the big three all healthy. But I think Boogie fit in well. I think that is a good sign. I mean, it's – again, I think the important thing to stress here is you cannot look at Boogie and go – replace Brook Lopez. It's way too much to ask, but if he can do a little bit of it, Giannis can do a lot of it. Bobby can do some of it. Guys like Chris is going to need to rebound more all year now and in the playoffs. Like, that's the thing that can be off and on. And I think when he's on, I really notice it and go, that was a great rebound, Chris. You're 6'8". Thank goodness for doing that. That's going to be a big thing because he's going to be asked to play the four now more, I think, just by default. And getting something out of Shemmy and Rodney Hood. So when you look at this, you know, how do you look at the Bucks big man rotation shaking out, or maybe not even rotation, but just, you know, how this roster is going to come together and continue to survive and hopefully thrive without Brook?
I mean, if they could play like how they have been playing the last 8 games, that'd be great. that solves a lot of problems. No, to be more serious about it, it's, I mean, we already all identified, even before Brook's injury, probably going into the season, that they are light on size. They need more big man depth, all that stuff. And it wasn't just, you know, strictly talking about a traditional center. It was also, you know, you lose PJ Tucker, you go replace it or replace him with Shemmy Ojeleye, who can kind of give you toughness, a little bit more physicality. Just a matter of him playing up to his role offensively and hitting shots to this point. And I know he's hurt. Another lingering injury that, you know, he, I think during training camp into the start of the season, was suffering, and then doesn't play up to his abilities, gets hurt, and is out for maybe a week or two more at this stage. It wasn't just about, you know, traditional centers. It was about, you know, that kind of switchy four or five, wing defender that can kind of basically just get, take on tough defensive assignments, play up to his capabilities, hit some shots, that kind of thing. Very, low usage role player. They don't have that right now, at least. It's still kind of TBD of whether Shemmy could be that kind of guy for them. And it's unfortunate they got hurt. But now you're asking more of that, of, Chris playing up to, what isn't his natural position, even though he has great size for it. And, Chris Middleton has just a great all-around player. Even their guards like Jrue Holiday, George Hill, they're very active on the boards and stuff like that. But, like, do that over an 82-game season and what it hopes to be another long playoff run, maybe another run to the finals, that's very taxing. It's tough to do. Pat Connaughton is, throw him into the mix there. Like, it's just a lot. And it's unfortunate that it has to be this way, but you're expecting more out of them to kind of sustaining this level of, gang rebounding or just like all this stuff that just really kind of makes the Bucks, the Bucks, I guess, for lack of a better way to say it.
Yeah, I think what's interesting to me is I actually think their big man rotation over the regular season will be more or less okay. I think Giannis and Bobby combined to be a center, and then Boogie too. Like, I think Giannis and Boogie, let's just call them the fives and say Bobby is like a 4.5. This isn't to denigrate him. It's just the skill set. I think that's fine. Even if Boogie takes some nights off, Bobby plays some solo five, you can live. It's not ideal. And nights when Boogie and Giannis or Boogie and Bobby are out, then suddenly you're very thin again, and that's just life. But I think they'll be okay, assuming – I would imagine Boogie gets ramped up and isn't sitting every back-to-back. I guess we'll see. We don't know. But, I mean, he's been on the couch until 2 days ago, so I think it makes a lot of sense for him to miss this one. I think what's going to be interesting is the need for the playoffs. And I think the whole thing with Brooke in the playoffs – is not Brooke is a great fit next to Giannis, and that's why they need him in the playoffs. It's Brooke is a great player who has a huge impact on winning, and that's why you need Brooke in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So now, you can trend more toward fit, right? And we're seeing the Bucks when they go for their bigs. I think you're seeing guys like Bobby, even like Shemmy, who are more malleable to fit better with Giannis. To an extent, Mamu. Mamu's not going to play in the playoffs. But like that kind of big who it's like offensively, he's really good for Giannis. Giannis can cover for him defensively. That's the big combo now. The Bucks are going to have to trend more like that. They're not going to play Boogie 30 minutes a night and start him like they did Brooke. So then the real need is the same need that we knew about before Brooke got hurt. And in my opinion, it's that defensive four, the PJ Tucker type, which could have just been PJ Tucker. But here we are. We need to find one. So, all of a sudden, I think even more importance on Shemi Ojeleye coming back and figuring it out. Can you get something from Rodney Hood? I don't think Rodney Hood's going to be a defensive stopper. But if he can play those minutes and be good enough on offense, maybe you can get by. Or does there need to be another roster move? Because I think you can get by with playing 15 minutes of Giannis and a traditional big who's not all that good, like the Lakers did in their title run when Dwight started games but did not finish them. I would guess that's the Bucks look more like that kind of a team in the playoffs this year, assuming Brooke does not make a miraculous return. So then you're looking at, okay, how can we get another good four to complement this? Can we find one on the roster, or do we have to make another move? That's going to be the interesting thing. So I think this pivot was going to come eventually. Brooke obviously was older than the rest of the core by a few years. Certainly didn't want it to happen now with how good he's looked when he's played, but we are here. So I want to answer one question I've already seen on Twitter about the disabled player exception. The Bucks could apply for this if they agree, and I think the NBA can do an independent check as well, only if a player is going to be out for the season. So that's why they haven't done this for Dante. He's dunking again. They assume he's coming back. They didn't bother doing it. They haven't yet done it for Brooke. We'll see if they want to go down that route. You can apply for the exception without using it. It's for either the non-taxpayer MLE or half of the player's salary. I think plus $100K, the NBA always throws $100K on these things for some reason. So half of Brook's salary is like $6.5 million or so, I believe. He makes 13.3. So they could do that. It would give them a mechanism. It's not all that useful, but if they think he's going to be out, they could go get it. I don't know if they're going to want to put that timeline out there, considering they haven't liked to do that at all, and they would officially have to get this thing. But it doesn't open up a roster spot, I don't believe. The NBA is not like the NFL. You can't throw a guy on IR. So now with Boogie, the roster is full. Of course, you could release Boogie. He's non-guaranteed. Yorgos, I don't think, is fully guaranteed. Is he for this year?
I think there's like escalating guarantees. It was like how my buddy Diakite's contract was structured or stuff like that.
I think it was. So you could move off Yorgos if you really wanted to. He's been mostly almost entirely a Herd player this year. I don't know who else. And obviously there's trades and that kind of a thing. So we'll see if they go down that route. The other thing is, you know, would they want to pay that much more in salary for a player? I guess we'll find out. I think it's more likely we see some sort of a trade for someone making a lesser amount. One last thing on the disabled player exception. You can use it to sign a player, trade for a player only in the last year of their contract, or claim a guy off waivers. Honestly, I think it would only really be used for a trade, in my opinion. I don't know what free agent is commanding more than Vet Min. They just got Boogie for a non-guaranteed deal. There's no one out there who's a world beater. Like, I think any free agent in the world right now would say, I will play for the Bucks for Vet Min. I don't think they would need $6 million. And the waivers thing, guys just don't get waived. Like, there's buyout guys, but usually they also sign vet minimum deals because they're getting their buyout money as well. So,
yeah,
I think it'd be most useful in a trade. But what do you think, Jordan?
Historically, whenever teams have used it, it's probably been more waivers or, you know, free agents, like, you know, how Cousins was, just because he, you know, didn't field any offers until the Bucks came along and showed that they had a need to get him, as it turns out. So I would say maybe that, but, like, you know, are you going to be studying on that until buyout market comes? Just because, you know, under Horace, they have traditionally been active on the buyout market. But that also, you know, that requires a move, like cutting Yorgios, or I'd be surprised. Like, you can't do a two-way guy like Mamu or Javonte Smart, because if you're talking about playoffs and wanting playoff eligibility, two-way guys can't do it anymore.
They may be able to play now. I think they're.
I know they went back because
The days are different. Did they take away the playoff eligibility?
Days are different. The playoff eligibility was just, I think, a one-time thing last year with COVID and everything.
Either way, realistically, even if it was, that's only players with less than 4 years experience. It's only guys who will take even less than vet min.
Yep.
It's not very likely you'd find a guy that you're saying, go guard Kevin Durant, who's on a two-way contract.
Yeah. Yeah, you're not asking either Mamu or Javonte Smart to do that.
Although he kind of did opening night, Mamu, but
that's true. in a much more battle-tested way. They're not going to do that. But yeah, this is where it opens the door of, like, okay, your roster probably still needs maneuvering. I would have guessed the Bucks are going to say, hey, we're going to guarantee your deal, DeMarcus Cousins, past whatever the date is.
I think he's got some job security. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's got a little bit more now than he did when he initially signed. It's the unfortunate thing where it's like the shoe drops and now it's, you know, you hope everything's good with the team. They keep up this level of play. They're not going to win every game for the rest of the season, but if they're on this torrid pace that they have been under Bud, that'd be great. But we all know that John Horace is not one to rest on his laurels. He's very active in, you know, perusing or exhausting all his options, even when, you know, it looks like, hey, you don't really have a lot of draft picks to trade to get a PJ Tucker or defensive specialist last year. He goes out and does it. I'm not saying he can do that every time and it results in winning an NBA championship, but history has shown that he will do whatever it takes to bring in someone that he thinks can help them out. And time will tell if that happens. it's really hard to trade any of their players that aren't valuable or essential to their team. That's what makes Dante a very interesting trade chip if and when he does come back this year.
I think it makes Dante more interesting in general as a player, yes, too. I mean, he's going to be – assume they can't pull off another P.J. Tucker move. If he can play, that helps. I mean, he rebounds well. He's a useful defender. They're not going to have that many avenues to improve. Like, as a trade chip, I still think he's interesting. As a player, he becomes more interesting now because, you know, the great Bucks depth that we've been talking about takes a huge hit here, right? Like, the guy you had slotted in fourth is no longer there. Grayson Allen's looked great as a fourth option most of the time. He's going to have to do that a lot, or Bobby Portis, whatever order. But certainly you lose a big piece of the pie there. Maybe they have a $13.3 or whatever million-dollar tradable salary now. I don't know if we're going to get to that point with Brooke. And obviously the value.
And he's in the third year of his four-year deal. So,
which is fully guaranteed, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So
he was the lone player that I remember giving a player option, which is usually Horace Forte.
There's a have you ever seen the bot in the Discord?
I have. Yes,
yeah.
I have.
Yeah. That's fun. If you're in the Euro Group Discord, type the exclamation point and player option, all one word, I think. Something fun happens. But this pod has not been that fun. yeah, I don't know. We're just going to see. I assume some move is coming. We don't know how big it's going to be. But all of a sudden, that depth is going to be tested. Guys like Grayson and Bobby, I think there's a lot that could fall on Bobby here. I mean, he's been starting
in Brooks' place. Now, you know, not to rewrite history, because it was already, you know, what felt like a miracle when we were recording our free agent splash or whatever we would have called it, the live stream for however many months ago. But now Bobby's decision to stay in Milwaukee on, you know, a team friendly deal, aka not that friendly to Bobby Portis, that's a godsend. They can't do what they're doing right now without him. They can't do that with, you know, knowing now that they're without Brooke indefinitely. That's I bet even, you know, it's things like these, like, change, you know, it changes life depending on how the season shakes out and all the things that we can't predict that will happen. But something like that wasn't insignificant at the time, and certainly not now.
Yeah, I mean, bringing in Boogie is the one I think you're going to look at, because it just happened, and he is, I guess, more directly seems like a replacement, considering that's why they went and made the move when they did. But Bobby's the one who literally has replaced him in the starting lineup since he got healthy, and it's been working. They've been winning a lot of games. Bobby has played better. So can he keep that up? Can he get even better, especially defensively? Those are going to be big questions. Those are going to be necessary questions that we're going to find answers to, because I would assume, barring an insane move, he's probably just the starter from here on out. Yep. Like, I don't think Boogie's going to take it. I think he's going to be the bench center, which is great to have, an important piece. But Bobby and Giannis, all of a sudden, you know, this is something, again, looked at as maybe that's a big combo of the future because they're the same age or similar ages. Here it is. The future is now. Own the future. They're owning
the future. Unfortunately, built for this.
Yeah, we'll see. But any last thoughts here, Jordan, as we wrap up? I think we've tried to find some things to laugh at, just because this is like a very upsetting and sad day for the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough pill to swallow. It doesn't. None of the, you know, outright anger that we all had at various points of time doesn't make this feel any better, because it was just, you know, the longer this went on, it just seemed like the most likely outcome, unfortunately. So yeah, hopefully Brooke gets healthy. Placing any expectations on what he looks like if he comes back this year is really hard to do.
Yeah. Probably not.
Yeah, because it's not even just this year. I mean, again, where he's at in his career.
Yeah,
it's a very big thing. Very big thing in terms of just getting right and, you know, hoping he can play for a few more years, because it can go really quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing. I don't know if we said it directly, but obviously nothing but good thoughts and wishes and prayers and everything to Brooke Lopez right now. First and foremost, his just health as a person is more important than this basketball stuff. But, you know, the Bucks have to keep going on anyway, and they're going to play the Raptors tonight or maybe last night as you're listening to this. But all the best to Brooke Lopez. We do have one new review. We have actually a couple new reviews on Apple, but from JTPDX89 in the U.S. He writes, excellent show, !5 stars. So this is the good vibes we needed. The way these boys talk Bucks basketball is top-notch. I moved away from Milwaukee and felt very disconnected to the team. Between the show and the Twitter accounts, all 6 of them for now, a 7th one coming soon.
Ooh,
that's a teaser. I said the 7th part and the 6th part, not JTPDX89, by the way. But between the show and the Twitter accounts, I feel very in the mix, much needed and even more appreciated. We do appreciate you, JDPDX89, and all listeners and everyone who's left a review on Apple. If you have not done so, you can send one of those, screenshot it, send it to us on Twitter, at Ty Windisch, at Jordan Tresky, at Adam McGee 11, at R. Cotty Jr., at Eurostep Pod, at Win in Numeral 6 Pod, I think.
I always forget why everyone asked
you. I did this last time and you didn't
come. I know.
But anyway,
Win a six Numerical 6 Podcast.
There it is. Send it to any of us or all of us, and we'll get you in the Discord. You can see the player option thing. Bunch of fun stuff in there. But thank you all so much for listening. Check out all of the content, the pod feeds, the YouTube, Eurostep Podcast Network, gspn.substack.com. A lot happening there. And we will continue to cover all angles of the Brooke Lopez thing and everything else Bucks as we do. Thanks for listening. Get well soon, Brooke.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.